If you have your Bibles with you, let's open our Bibles, please, in 1 Peter chapter 4, just reading two verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, reading verse 10 and 11. Let me just read it and just follow me with your eyes, please. 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 and 11. As each one has received gift, minister it to one another. As good steward of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do as with ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord and merciful Father, as we dive into your word today, as we feast upon your word, we praise you for this wonderful opportunity that you have given us to worship, the freedom to open your word, the freedom to just sing, the freedom to learn from you, dear Father. And we pray as we feast upon your word, just use your servant as your mouthpiece. Hide him behind your cross that you will be seen, your words would reflect the things that we will learn. And we pray, dear Father, that in all this, we would not be hearers only, but doers of your word. This we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Just trying to pause with the wonderful topic about marriage and divorce. And this morning, bring to you First Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. If you know a little bit of my background, it was, as Josh was saying, I serve with a persecuted church. And serving the Lord in a local church for 8 years, in the middle of that, God opened a ministry which we were supporting as a church, a Muslim ministry in Mindanao, that's in the Philippines, that's the southern part of Mindanao. And I didn't know at that time that that was really a thing, reaching Muslims, but God just opened that, and after 3-4 years, Voice of the Martyrs called and asking for someone to lead the Philippines. And we prayed for it because it's a new ministry and we don't know much about Voice of the Martyrs. And God just opened a lot of things with Voice of the Martyrs and even with the persecuted church, realizing a free church or free people to worship. And they're also free to worship God, except that people just don't like them to worship God. And that's what we look at it and that's how we look at it. Now, learning from what the passage that we have right now, let me just introduce one person. Her name is Jenny Thompson. There's a picture there. Jenny Thompson is an Olympian, a U.S. Swimmer. And all the medals that she has, if you see, those 8 golds were won not by an individual game, but a team effort. So all the 8 golds that she had was won through a team effort. And someone questioned that, saying, you know, if Jenny's accomplishment should be a personal achievement, it should have been better. But you know, I find Jenny's accomplishment in an ego-driven U.S. culture refreshing. Because of course, with Jenny's marvelous example, he's a person whose genuine success came in the context of team play. And this is how the church should work as well. Our true stardom occurs when we participate as part of the winning team. And that is God's team. There is no room for superstars or mega celebrities who do it all on their own. All of us are saved to serve together in one body. And that is why Peter here, as we look at the passage, Peter made it clear to the people, to the church, that we have been saved by the Lord, and we have been given gifts so that we can be part of that body. No part of the body is useless. Even the tiniest part of our body is used by the Lord in our bodies. Now, we are never made to do things alone. We are saved to do things together. And as we look at the background, the simple background of Peter, or the book of 1 Peter, is that 1 Peter was written to people who were living in the times that they said it is the end of times. Look at your Bibles, please. In verse 7, Peter mentioned this. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayer. And above all things, have fervent love to one another, for love will cover the multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. That's how Peter started what he said to the church. Now, if we look at it, they were living in two kinds of situation. One, Peter was saying, we are living in the end of all things. As well as they were persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were living in Roman time, and Rome didn't want, or even Jews didn't want another king, another god. So they were persecuted in all of the way. And also, if we look at it, they were persecuted and they were living in the end times, meaning they had the sense of urgency. When Peter said, we are at the end of all things. And it gave them a sense of urgency. And if we have that sense of urgency, next with it would be priority. So if we have the sense of urgency, then we would think, what should I do first? What should I prioritize? And the two things that this church has, they had urgency and priority. And if we look at them, these two things, it is actually the same as with us. We are living in the end times. And there should be a sense of urgency and priority with all of us. Not only to the preachers, not only to the people who we look at a church, not only to those matured ones, but rather everyone that has been saved, that God put in the church, there should be a sense of urgency and there should be a sense of priority. And this was the situation of the believers in Peter's time. And we are living the same urgency today. We have a short time left and we need to continue to do that they were doing as they await the coming of the Savior. So what do we do? Maybe, again, just like a ordinary person, we have a lot of excuses. Like, I cannot do that. I was not trained of that. I don't know how to do all these things. I don't have a knowledge all those things. But let me just remind you about 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, where Peter said, God has already given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. So listen, if we be true believers of the Lord, and we're cramming to do things and trying to learn things, but then the Bible reminds us God has already given us everything. We cannot exhaust everything, right? Because that means it's all pertaining to what? Life, how we live life. We have the Bible, and godliness, how we live according to what God would want us to do. That means we all have the tools to build on and serve God with urgency and priority. We have all those things. We just need to claim it, and we just need to live on it. That's why this morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord, if God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness, and we are living with urgency and priority, one thing God requires for every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to be faithful in everything God has given us. Faithfulness is the only thing that He required. The message title for this morning is grace. We are all graced. As Peter said, we have all been given. Grace, we know grace, right? We don't deserve it, but just God gave it. And how come a great God would give it to us. It's just because of His great love towards us. And of course, because He wants us to be part of His family. This morning, we will learn two important truths about being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in the area of using our spiritual gifts for the Lord. Because if you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I don't have a spiritual gift, well, let me remind you what the Bible says. Because it's pretty clear that all of us has been given everything so that we can work together for the furtherance of His word. The first truth that we will learn is the reality of every believer. Look at your Bibles again in verse 10. It started with this phrase in verse 10. As each one has received. It talks about the person. Everyone, every man, each one has received. The idea is a person has received a gift, even so. So what we do with that gift, according to Peter, we minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracle of God. As verse 11 would say, if anyone wants to serve, let him do with the ability that God has given us. So it is pretty clear that every person that belongs to the family of God has been given a gift. We may not be able to know it right away, but for sure the Bible is clear that each one has been given a gift. And that should be used to build up the body of God. And right now, if we are claiming to be a Christian and we are not using that gift in building the kingdom of God, maybe we need to pause and repent and ask God, Lord, how can I serve you? Use me to build up your body. So every Christian, the Bible makes it clear, has received at least one gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe my gift is in speaking, a speaking gift. And I really thank the Lord that God has given us the opportunity, me the opportunity, that even though I'm not working in a local church, I'm able still to preach and teach the Word of God. Let me share to you a story of a person from the highlands of Vietnam. The next Sunday I'll be giving you some updates of what I recently visited some parts of Southeast Asia with regards to the work of Voice of the Martyrs. There was a believer there, or he was not a believer at first, but he got saved and he asked the pastor, Pastor, what will I do? I'm now a Christian. What will I do? I don't know. Maybe just the same question of a new believer. What will I do? And he realized, oh, God gave me a mouth to speak. And I know that I can speak to anyone the gospel. So what he did, he stood up, he went to his neighbors, and shared the gospel. Unfortunately, in the highlands, authorities would say, we are the law here. Whatever we say, you follow. And they don't want them to preach the gospel. Sadly, every time he preaches the gospel, he will be beaten and be stopped in doing so. But my friends, I was able to meet him, able to interview him. But for the last 15 years, he's been down and up, continuing to preach the gospel. What is your excuse? What is our excuse? We're living in a free country. We're living a life that we have this kind of freedom to do so. We don't need to live in a country to say, I'm persecuted. No. The only thing we should do, is to stand up, do what is right according to the Bible, and just speak the goodness of the Lord through our lives. And we should realize this, that as we come to be part of the family of God, we have been gifted. We have received a gift, and that gift should be used, and according to the verse, for the glory of God. And if you are not doing it simply, it's not wrong to say you're not giving glory to God. Because you're not using the gift that God has given you. Second, not only the person, the reality of every believer, but the practice. How should we do it? What should we do? The practice says, in verse 10, it is to be used for one another. We don't have time to go through our Bibles, but I know some of you knows about this, that you go through the New Testament, and it has a lot of verses that say one another. The one another verses. So, it would give us a clear impression that God has given us this gift so that we could use it to minister first to one another. Help each other. Because we have been saved to build up each other. I know the pandemic really gave a different route for the churches. Even the Philippines, it's sad because people are just used sitting in the house, in the homes, and not going to church because maybe mostly of convenience. It's just good to sit at home and not go away. But I'm not saying others are doesn't have a real excuse or reason, but it stopped them from practicing their spiritual gift, especially the serving gift to one another. As God has instructed us through the verses, as God has given us each gift, we should use those gifts to serve one another. If God has given you a gift, it is not for you to show off. We are expected to use that gift to serve one another. He has not gifted us the ability so that we can consider just serving or doing things on our own, but rather that we might consider serving one another in order to serve one another. With the gifts that God He has given us the obligation to do so. And what is that obligation? We are to practice it. We are not to hide it. And we've heard it sermon after sermon. We should not only be hearers, but doers. The same thing with the gifts. We are not to keep in our own, but rather we are to practice it. For what? To build up the body of God. To build up each other in serving the Lord. And number three, not only the person, the practice, but the prerequisite. What does the verse say? What is the prerequisite? It says, we are to be good stewards. God has given that, and we are to be managers. The simple meaning of steward is a manager. Somebody who would take care of what God has given us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required of stewards to be what? To be found faithful. It's that's the only requirement of being a steward. And stewardship, it encompasses everything, not only money. And as sometimes when we talk about stewardship, most of the time we think about, oh, how we handle money and all those things. Now, stewardship encompasses all, even our time, how we use our time, stewardship of time, how we use our life, our body, stewardship of our body, how we use our resources, that we recognize that whatever we have is from the Lord, not because I'm good at this. Rather, it was God who has given it to us. And us being a good steward. So, this concept is clear that God has entrusted you a gift. And we are to use it for the good of others and for the glory of God. That is the goal of the gift that God has given us. Not to just keep it, rather use it, invest it in a way to further the kingdom of God here on earth. Because one day, let's always remember this, one day we will all face God and give an account to whatever God has given us. Let's think about that for a moment. We're there now, facing our God. Of course, we will not be judged. If you're a true believer, we will not be judged. But rather, we will give an account. And we will face our God and say, Lord, this is what I did with the gifts that you have given me. Will we have something to say to the Lord? Or we will just say, you know, Lord, I was just afraid, just like the parable of the stewards. No, I was just afraid, so I kept it. We're just waiting for you because I was afraid. One day, we will all be facing our God, and we will be required to give an account to everything. The fourth, but the reality of every believer. Not only the person, the practice, the prerequisite, but the purview or the extent. It says the manifold grace of God in verse 10. In other words, this gift that God has given us is many or many colored. The meaning there, the original meaning of manifold grace of God, it means many colored. That means the gift of God are given by His grace. So if you see somebody who has really a gift from God, some of them has won, some of them also has a lot of gift that God has given them so that they could serve God faithfully in a local church or even outside the local church. It is not because they earned it. But listen, it is called the grace, the manifold grace, so that we would realize that it's not because I'm reading my Bible every day, I'm praying every day, so maybe that's why God has given me a lot of gifts. No, gifts are not earned. It's given by God. So we cannot claim that it's because of what we do, that's why God has gifted at that. It is because that God is a God of grace, and that grace is the endowment, or these are gifts from God. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the reality of every believer is this. We must realize that as God has saved us, God did not just put us in a family and say, okay, I put you in a family and you're on your own. Okay? Do whatever you want, you're on your own. No. God put us in a family so that He can use us, in order for us to grow, in order for us to be of use for His glory and honor, so that people around us will see, oh, that is the God that you serve. This is the God that we serve. And it doesn't matter which country we live in. What matters is how we use it for God and His glory. The second truth, not only the reality of every believer, but the second truth that we see here is that there is also the responsibility of every believer. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 would simply tell us, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Two things that Peter mentioned here. The responsibility of believers because of that gift. And those two gifts are the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. Of course, if we go to the teaching of Apostle Paul, said it one by one. I mean, he enumerated it. We could see that in 1 Corinthians. There's a lot of things that Apostle Paul said about those things, but we don't have time to dwell on that. So let's just divide it through two things, speaking gifts and the serving gifts. And the speaking gifts are all there. It's mentioned there. If we look at it one by one, apostleship, of course, that's already ceased. Because one of the requirements to be an apostle is that you must see Jesus dying and resurrecting. I believe nobody has seen Jesus now resurrected. That ceased. Prophecy, of course, we have the Bible finished. So no prophecy now, as others claim that there's still, but it already ceased. Evangelism continues. We go to places and preach the gospel. Shepherding or pastoring continues. Teaching continues. Exhortation, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom continues. And these are the speaking gifts. So, here Peter deals on how we proclaim and identify with the Lord. Do you remember in the book of Acts, when Peter and John went to the temple? And they were preaching, right? They were teaching the people. And somebody said, oh, these are Galileans. Why are they able to speak like that? And then all of a sudden, oh, they were with Jesus. You see the connection? It's not because that they're unlearned. They were ordinary fishermen. But because they were with Jesus for 3.5 years, they learned a lot from the master teacher. And that when people see them and hear them, they would know that they were with Jesus. So you see here, Peter is saying that as we do all these things, this gift that God has given us, this identifies us that we belong to God's church. That you and I belong to one family. Once again, we discover a valuable instruction regarding our walk with the Lord and the expectation associated with it. If a man speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. Again, this is interesting because the oracles of God, it means, it refers to a divine utterance. Of course, the word is used in reference to Mosaic law in the Old Testament, which Acts 7:38 mentioned, and also used in Hebrews 5:12. But Peter is speaking of preaching and teaching the word of God. He was instructing the church at that time that they were persecuted. And just like the instruction, wherever you are, you preach the gospel, you share the gospel wherever God will take you. You know, I have a friend, and he's Malaysian. And it's just a wonderful guy to be with, because everywhere we go, everywhere we go, he cannot help but share the gospel. We were at the taxi, we were at Bali, Indonesia, and we were attending a conference, and we were there. And he was sitting in front, and immediately sharing to a Muslim guy. On our way back, he had a Hindu guy. He shared the gospel again. On our way back to the front desk of the hotel, he stopped there for a moment, chatted with them, and there were three of them, and went back to us and said, hey, I shared the gospel. He cannot stop himself sharing the gospel. Because he said, that's the gift that God has given me. Evangelism. Wherever I go, I evangelize. And it's just a joy to see a person. Oh, of course, not everybody is gifted that. Not everybody. And he once told me, we just met 4 weeks ago. He said, you know what? I'm happy that people would laugh at me, would look down at me whenever I talk all these things. Because what I'm sharing them is the truth. And what I'm sharing to them is the gospel. So I don't care. I don't mind if they laughed at me, if they looked down on me, if they say things that are not nice, as long as I give to them and tell them the love of God. What about us? When was the last time that we shared the gospel? When was the last time that we had the courage to talk to a person and say, hey, God loves you and God has a wonderful plan for you? And if you accept Jesus right now, if you are willing to put your trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will be saved. When was that last time? Or are we just enjoying our time? We have work, we have a house, we have a good family, we have a good church. That's okay. And I'm giving back to the Lord. It's fairly okay. Are we contented in all those things? You know, surely, as those who handle the word of God ought to seek proper interpretation and teach the word with authority of the Spirit. Of course, many are seeking to please men rather than being faithful to the word of God. I know the main reason why we're not sharing the gospel is that we are afraid to not say it the right way and to offend people. It's always that. We're careful not to offend people. But let me give you a bad news. The Bible is offensive. It is offensive. Whether you sugarcoat it or you like it, it is offensive. Why? Because it talks about sin. Whenever we talk about sin, it will offend the person, especially if the person is doing that sin. Who would not be offended? If somebody will tell you up front, hey, you sinned. Of course, you will be offended. But hey, that's not all of it. The gospel is not all about pointing sin, but the gospel is pointing there is a way, there is hope. And if God has given you a gift to speak, then speak now. Be used of the Lord wherever you are, whatever you do. Speaking is not only through words, but speaking, you could also speak through your life. That as you do things in God's way and people look at you, they would realize what is in you that would allow us or allow me to believe what you believe, because it's different. It's different. In Mindanao, we have this project with Muslims. And this Muslims, there are at least 13 Muslim tribes in Mindanao, a lot of them. And one of them, I visited them once. If you know Gracia Burnham, Gracia Burnham was a missionary with her husband, abducted by Abu Sayyaf. And Martin Burnham was killed. And in that area, that's Lamitan, Basilan. I once visited they have a local congregation where one day, because of the way of life, something happened to the church and just changed everything. You know, when the neighbors saw that, they realized, oh, the God that you're serving is better than what the God that we serve. Can you tell us about your God? And that was a way for them to evangelize. And you know what? Not only 20 people were added, 20 families were added. Not people. It's not individuals, families. And some of them are 5, 6, and they're a lot. And now they're cramming with this small place that they're in serving the Lord. Of course, they're experiencing persecution. They're fishermen. And Muslims doesn't want them to really do good. So that's why some of them, they just confiscate their fish that they could sell for a living. And it's hard. And they said it's hard for them to be a believer in a place where everybody believes otherwise. And I believe that we can be of help to them by speaking and by sharing the gospel, the hope that they should have, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, not only speaking gift, but the second is serving gift. If anyone ministers, let him do as of the ability which God giveth. God gave us the ability to be able to serve one another. Let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And we have all the serving gifts there. Let's just go through it. One is the gift of help. Maybe you don't have the gift of speaking, but you're good in helping people. As believers, we're commanded to be of help to one another. Or maybe your gift is giving. That God just blessed you so much that God wants you to give. Or maybe your gift is ruling or administration. Or maybe your gift is showing mercy. That's a serving gift. Or maybe your faith. Or discernment. And that's what we all need today, because we're living in a postmodernistic era that there seems to be no more truth. I have my own truth, you have your own truth, so let's stick at that. And we need discernment every day. So as we look at it, as we look at this passage in a context, Peter is dealing with the suffering of believers that for the cause of Christ. And we are all aware that, of course, some of them face intense persecution to a point that during their time, in the time of Nero, they were tied to a pole and they were burned there as a lamppost. Many abandoned their faith in the work of God due to the adversity they face. But Peter was trying to remind the church, remind them that the source of our strength is not our own, but the source of being able to serve one another and to do all these things is who? God is the source. God has given us everything that we need. We just need to continue and to claim it. Last March, I meet somebody from Algeria that's north of Africa. And as a believer, Algeria is a Muslim country. And we were just talking casually and he said, "Brother, can you pray for me?" "Okay, what can I pray for you?" He said, "When I go back to Algeria, I'll be going to court." "Why?" "Because I was uploading my messages in Facebook and YouTube." I said, "You know that should not be." I said, "It's okay, it's fine. I'm willing to go to prison. And even though in prison, I'm willing to preach there." Look at that mindset. Just look at that mindset. Of course, most of us, we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. Who wants to go to prison? Do you even pray that I want to go to prison, Lord, and I want to preach? No, you don't want to go there. But this guy, because he said, "I want to serve the people who's there and I want to preach to them the word of God." Peter reminds them again, our strength is in the Lord. Trouble and adversity are certain, but the grace and the sufficiency of God is greater than trials we face. Yes, we live in an age that is growing increasingly in intolerant of our faith and our Christian values. The world sees us as hindrance to the progress and the change of their agenda. Much of the world would rather the church to cease than to exist. But know this, serving the Lord will continue to face with increasing opposition, but we have the assurance of the grace of God to provide us strength and wisdom when we need it to press on in the fight. Remember that we are not serving the Lord on our own accord. We have been equipped. We have been guided. We have been gifted. We have been graced. If God has called you, God will equip you for His service. For sure, if God has called you, God will surely equip you. We don't need to stand, we just need to stand courageously for the Lord and continue to serve Him even as we face adversity. Even as we face adversity. Well, as we read through, it's the second truth is the responsibility of the believer. I thought there's a third gift that God has given to the church. One is speaking, second is serving, third is sitting. But it's not mentioned by Peter. Unfortunately, it's not mentioned. So if we claim, "I have a gift, Pastor," and that's sitting. Now, it's not mentioned there. It's just speaking and serving. So just choose of the two. Just choose of the two. For a end, some important points to know about spiritual gift. Number one, spiritual gifts are special abilities that God gives you to do His work in this world. Not just to flaunt it, not just to showcase it. It is a gift, an ability for His work. Second, spiritual gifts are natural talent, not natural talents or acquired skill. Rather, it's a spiritual gift. You can't learn or even earn spiritual gift by any effort. Again, it is a gift of God. Third, spiritual gifts are not for our own private benefit, but for the common good of every believer. Fourth, spiritual gifts are only given to believers. So that means, is it fair to say that the if a person say, "Pastor, I don't have a gift," maybe you're not a believer. Because the Bible's clear. Every believer has been gifted. Number five, spiritual gifts are not fruit of the Spirit, as Galatians 6, but rather, these are characteristics that would reveal our spiritual maturity, our spiritual gift, on the other hand, reveals our ministry. That's where God can use us as we serve Him. And there's a sixth that I haven't added there. The spiritual gift are not roles or positions in the church. Those are not roles. Yes, God has given us each role to serve the Lord, but not really a role or a position. If God has given you a speaking gift, that does not stop you to go out and preach the gospel. So as I end, are you now ready to use the gift that God has given you for His glory? Do you now see that we are already equipped? Can we now say we are equipped to do whatever God has installed us to do? We always say this, bloom where God planted you. I know it doesn't mean you're a nurse. You cannot be of a light to that. You're a Christian nurse. It doesn't mean you're an engineer. You're a Christian engineer. We're all Christians. We're all servants of God. And let me end. You know, Pastor has many last things to say, but this is the very last thing. Three things. Three important things that I will leave you. Number one, if we know our spiritual gift, if it will enable you to find a place of ministry in this local church. Pray for it. Ask God, Lord, what is my gift that I can be of service to the local church? If we know our spiritual gift, it will enable us to determine our priorities, what we do. And lastly, it will be of great help in discerning God's will. It's always about God's will, not my will, not your will. It's always about God's will. So friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, I pray that this will help us realize that we have been equipped. If we are just on the sidelines today, maybe God would want us to be the front line, or maybe the supply line. Wherever God would plant you, bloom. Because I know, we all know, God will use you and God has equipped you. Let's pray. Gracious Lord and merciful Father, we praise you for your goodness and your grace. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you have not left us on our own, but rather you have equipped us to be of use for your glory and honor. I pray that each one, each believer that's in here today, would know their own spiritual gift so that they could have a sense of urgency and priority, and most especially, Lord, serve you in this local church. I pray that you continually bless this church. Just pour out your blessing to this church, that you use this church as a blessing to each one, to our neighbors, to our workmates, to everybody who's around us, that Jesus will be seen in us. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.